Blog Talk Radio.
Through the word from the Lord this morning, from the gospel recorded by St. John, the 12th chapter. And if you would be so kind, I would like to direct your attention to the 20th verse. St. John, chapter 12, verse 20 reads, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus." And we want to speak briefly on this subject this morning, searching for the best. Searching for the best. In chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 20, we read of the search. And in life, no matter what stage of life you're in, it entails a search. Be it a crying baby searching for the comfort of her mother's arms, or a crawling baby standing up and falling down, trying to develop the strength to stand upright. Be it a kindergartner who's beginning the search of the knowledge of ages, or be you a teenager searching for identity, and in contrast, sometimes in opposition to their parents. Be you a young adult searching for a mate, searching for a vocation, a life's work. Be you middle aged, searching for security in life. Or may you even be blessed to be in the evening phase of life. You're still searching for some peaceful place in which to spend your last days. All of life is a search. And within the boundaries of the cradle and the grave, we search. So in John, the 12th chapter, we're introduced to some Greeks who are conducting a search. They're in hot pursuit. But really, they're not so much looking for something that is hidden. They're trying to catch up with something that they know a little bit about. You see, the Greeks were known for being a culture of searchers. There was an old adage that was said that you Greeks will not be at rest and will not let anyone rest. For two of the greatest classes in all of history were built around search. We've got Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey. So these Greeks this morning perhaps had searched the gods and goddesses of Greece who were cavorting around Mount Olympus. These gods that they were searching for were unmindful of the valley of mortality that rested below them. These gods had no inkling of the individuals who were worshiping them. So these gods, in essence, were worthless. They couldn't help us in this life search situation. So they were searching for something better. They may have searched the philosophies of Greece because they were innumerable. But these Greeks had found the religion of the Old Testament. So here they are coming to the feast, and yet they were still searching. Something that was inside of them remained unfulfilled. There was within them a sense of incompleteness. So they found Philip. Philip, who had a Greek name. And they decided that Philip would be a good point of contact in order to get in touch with Jesus. And let me let you in on something. All of us serves as a point of contact with Jesus. Anyone who considers himself and calls themselves a child of God, God uses you as a point of contact for someone who is lost and seeking to do better. So there's a sphere of influence that you have that nobody else has. So here's Philip, who comes from Bethsaida, which is a large Greek colony. And because of that, he was more than suited to be the go-between between the Greeks and Jesus. Philip had something that nobody else had as far as these Greeks were concerned. Because the Lord has so positioned you that you have a sphere of influence that nobody on earth has. And I don't know where these Greek gentlemen first heard of Jesus, but where did you first hear about Jesus? Some of us heard about Jesus at our parents' meeting. Many of us heard of Jesus in Sunday school, but where did you first hear the name Jesus? Yeah, these searchers, they went to Philip and said, "Sir, we're looking for something. There's something in us that is not yet fulfilled. We're more than what we were, but we're not what we want to be. If you will, we would like to see Jesus. And before we get complacent and satisfied with our status, we should always be mindful of the words of these seekers of salvation. Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Those of us who preach the gospel, we have to be mindful that no matter how skillful your oratory may be, people come so they can see Jesus. You don't try to dazzle the folk with your knowledge. They come to see Jesus. They're not hungry for your theories of life. They have come to see Jesus. And never mind your notions or your suppositions about what ought to be. Folk have come to see Jesus. I'm sure that these Greek gentlemen didn't have a full concept of who Jesus was, because no one can. They had some peripheral, some marginal knowledge. They had heard the name, and there may, you know, there's something about that name that just got a hold of them. There's something about the name of Jesus that gets down to the heart. Something about his name that calms fears. There's something about his name that steals storms that rage inside of us. But whatever it was, it got a hold of them, and they wanted more than what they had. Because nobody can fully comprehend Christ Jesus. As we wrestle and learn to deal with this pandemic we're going through, if the world seeks deliverance, it will have to do a little bit more than just calling his name. They're going to have to hold on to it. Amen. That's what's wrong in the country now. We know how to call his name, but we need to hold on to him and let his spirit infill us. These Greeks, they didn't fully grasp who Jesus was. Who can? They had some little corner of understanding, some little notion of who he was, But you don't have to wait to follow Jesus until you understand everything he is, because you never will. It may have been his teaching, the wisdom that fell from his lips that attracted them. They may have heard of Jesus' compassion for the poor and needy. They may have learned that Jesus had the power to touch broken lives and make them whole. We don't know exactly what it was. It may have been one of his miracles. But whatever it was, they came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Whatever it is about the Lord that attracts you, you need to take a hold of that. For somebody who needs a leader, he's a good shepherd. Hold on to him right there. For someone who needs to be enlisted in an army, he's the captain of salvation. Hold on to him right there. For someone else who's hurt, he's a great healer. Hold on to it right there. For someone else, you may be going through terrible guilt. I want you to realize that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hold on to it right there. For all of us need to repeat the words that these Greek gentlemen are telling us this morning. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We would see him with our ambitions, for he has something to say to our desires and aspirations. We would see Jesus with our desire to be significant, to make a difference in life. We would see Jesus for he has something to say to each and every one of us, because there's nothing wrong with our desire to matter in this life. It's a God-given attribute of humanity to want to count, to want to matter. Imagine how terrible this world would be if nobody had ambition. Wouldn't it be sad to have a mindset to say, "I ain't nothing and I don't want to be nothing"? What a dreadful world it would be if nobody wanted to count for something. But thank God, the Lord has put in us a desire to be something, to count. We need to bring our ambitions to Jesus and hear him say, "Nobody who has given up anything in this life will not receive 100-fold of what they have given up." Whatever you give up for Jesus, Jesus will give it back to you and then some. And then it gets better. Once he pays you back for what you have given him, he gives you also eternal life. So you get what you've already given 100-fold, then you get heaven on top of that. You can't beat that. We ought to bring our ambition before the Lord and hear Jesus say to our desires, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." Jesus was saying, "I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll pour out great blessings upon you." Yes, we also need to bring our brokenness to Jesus. With all our guilt and shame, we should still say, "I want to see Jesus." Amen.
have you ever felt miserable inside because you had broken the faith? You had been disloyal to what is royal inside of you and failed and felt ashamed and guilt. Lord, we would like to see Jesus, even with our brokenness and hurt. And then when you take Jesus, your brokenness and hurt, you can hear him say, I've forgiven your sin. Your slate is white clean. Your account is paid. Sir, we would like to see Jesus with all of our hurt and brokenness. Look at Jesus and hear him say to you, you are the light of the world. You are a city that's set on a hill. You are the salt of the earth. You are somebody to whom it is said, beloved, right now, you are a child of God. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and it can and it will be done. Just learn how to carry your brokenness and your guilt to Jesus, and he'll take care of the rest. Before I close, we got a lot of sickness and death that is sweeping the country. And the question is, how do we deal with this mortality? That old funeral committal describes our plight with these words. Man that is born of a woman has but a few days to live and is full of misery. He cometh up and is cut down like a flower. He flees and it were a shadow and never continues in one state. For the time comes in our lives when it seems that almost every day people we know fall away. Time, the marks of time are in all of us. The sicknesses, the weaknesses, it isn't so much that we fear dying ourselves, but we fear having to give up those who have been the closest to us. Seeing someone with whom we have walked with for so many years who suddenly disappears from our view. Who do we carry that situation to? Who can say anything to us in our sadness when we lost those that God has given us to love? We go again and again to those graves where we have left a little of our hearts. Who can say a truly comforting word to us when our hearts are breaking on the inside? Who can speak to us and with us, sir, we would like to see Jesus? And oh yes, we can hear Jesus say, I am the resurrection. I am death. I am the resurrection. And we cry out, we want to see Jesus. And we hear him say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I want you to rest your hope on my integrity and realize and understand that I'm coming back and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when the place is ready, I'm coming home to get you. That's the best church of all. When you get Jesus, it doesn't get any better than that. To know everything about him, but I knew enough to hold on to him. And whatever you hold on to, Jesus will keep until that day. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody needs to keep searching. If you're disillusioned and don't know which way to go, my word to you this morning is keep seeking Jesus. Sir, I would like to see Jesus. And it's our prayer that we've given you some guidance and some direction on how to see Jesus. You can see Jesus in your brokenness. You can see Jesus in your sickness. You can see Jesus in your circumstances. And he will bless you no matter what state you are in. Let the church say amen. 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 Thank you.